This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It's something for the weekend. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. Joining me, as usual, for something for the weekend to get us primed for Villa's fixture against Palace, Mr. Chris Bird.
Hello, mate.
Welcome back.
How you doing?
All good. Bit of a strange week, but looking forward to next week. And I don't know, after that Everton game, am I looking forward to these end-of-season fizzle-out beach games? I don't know.
The flip-flop derbies.
Unfortunately, nobody's allowed at the moment to travel to beaches. Right, let's get into this something for the weekend. This is the show where we just have a quick catch-up and update on things, although the last main show, 147, was only released literally like 24 hours ago. But that was pre-Everton 0-0. But for the real My Old Man Said experience, do check that out if you haven't already. Right, so we like to start proceedings with a Villa Minute, where we go through the Villa Week in a Villa Minute. Are you ready?
I am ready. I'm not on the beach just yet anyway.
I always say let's get the stopwatch out, but it's actually, as most people, it's a mobile phone. It's a bit of a lie.
We need to go
really,
analog, really. Go old school.
Yeah, no, I used to have one of those with, you know, that you pressed on the top and the second hand spun round. But anyway, this will have to do. Short notice. Right, are you ready?
I am.
Let's go.
It was the week where a Villa Park doubleheader would effectively decide which half of the table Villa would finish in. The main question of the first encounter with Manchester United was which minute would Ole Solskjaer's men get their token penalty. Naturally, they waited until after Villa took the lead with a Traore worldie. As soon as the penalty was awarded, you knew it was curtains for Villa. Smith's inner Villa fan comes out after the game when he says, "I'm fed up of talking about dubious penalties against Manchester United." Ollie Watkins' red card was the icing on the anguish cake. Without Watkins in the following game against Everton, Villa were always going to struggle to have any bite against the Toffees. A lacklustre 0-0 draw lacked the intensity of the first encounter, but at least Villa fans got to see the return of Captain Jack. Martinez keeps his 15th clean sheet to equal Brad Friedel's 2010-11 record. Villa were now in the season having lost more games at Villa Park than they have won. The good news though, Villa's record, their highest Premier League points to a return in 11 years.
Ooh,
up the Villa.
Just inside the 1 minute mark, up the Villa indeed. Right then, what's the main talking point since last we spoke? I think the prime thing is, which I think most Premier League clubs will have a sigh of relief as the Premier League have announced it has renewed a 4.8 billion TV rights deal with existing partners, Sky, BT, Amazon, etc., avoiding an auction, which most people believe would have led to hundreds of millions being wiped off the value of the next deal. I think they're talking about maybe potentially 500 million plus drop, which
That's going to make a huge difference to clubs' finances, wouldn't it?
Well, there's also the trickle-down, isn't there, to the lower league clubs. Their pot would be diminished, and that is the main talking point. I think the Championship or the EFL are actually not happy about this in terms of the distribution. I think the Football Supporters Association are okay with it because, you know, this could have been so much worse at this time, and it does make things, let's say, stable in the short term.
Mm-hmm.
The deal spans from 2020 to 2024. Season. I think it includes an extra 100 million that will be provided over the next 4 years only and will be distributed amongst the football area, football community, particularly vulnerable to the impacts of COVID-19. But we'll look through the minutiae of detail. I think the government still have to sign off on this or something, but because there's some issues surrounding it. But we'll look at it in more detail in the main show, the upcoming main show. In other news, Anwar El Ghazi is in the provisional squad for the Euros for Holland, so congrats to him. I think is their season over? I think it's still bubbling, but the England squad will be announced.
Yeah, it's virtually over. Obviously Ajax have already wrapped up the league, haven't they? So
yeah, so you know, obviously good timing for Grealish to get back, because Southgate's going to have to make his decision as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't do him any harm that even though he's been injured, at least Southgate's been chatting to him over the last few weeks, unless he's two-faced and said, well, yeah, you're all right, yeah, no, you'll be in the team, don't worry, we'll get you in there. And then, like, you know, when he decides, actually, fuck him,
I think he'll be in the squad, won't he? He'll be definitely in the squad. And as we said in previous pods, whether he, you know, becomes a starter or not, that's going to be open to debate. And
yeah, Smith said he's not going to start against Palace. Or that's the early indications anyway. I mean, you know what Smith is like with his mind games. They're a bit kind of, I don't think they're super sharp mind games, but when he came on, I thought he looked quite bright. I think he maybe blew a little bit later on.
He certainly gave the game a little bit of spark, didn't he? Just because, you know, within about, you know, a couple of minutes, he had about four Everton defenders around him.
Yeah, no, it was kind of a throwback straight away. So
it's almost a shame he didn't have someone to just bounce off, you know, like a little foil just to scheme with. And you never know if he could have, you know, if he had someone doing the running for him, he could have actually done a little bit more. But we didn't deserve to win that game anyway.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens in the Palace game. I think it's kind of a weird one where it's like, well, you know, he'll come on again against Palace and then probably get a full game against Chelsea and Spurs. It's almost like it's just the rest of the season is just prepping Grealish for England international duty.
Yeah.
I suppose if we were playing for something still, then, you know, I'd be on here saying, look, I don't give a damn about international. It's about, you know, we've got to either survive or we've got to get in Europe, and this is what we need Grealish for. But in this case, it's like, well, you know, we're not doing anything, so what the hell?
Yeah.
Prepare him for England at your will. The final week of the season, there's pretty much zero permutations. Everybody's relegated, aren't they, really?
Yeah, obviously City have won it. We know Manu will be second. Obviously, it's a bit of a shootout between Leicester and Chelsea. Well, A, for the FA Cup, and then for who will be third or fourth. But I can't see anybody else breaking into fourth place.
What, not even Liverpool?
No. I think the teams who are in there will get the results they need.
Liverpool have got game in hand as we speak. 4 points off, game in hand. Chelsea got to play Villa.
True.
Oh, you forgot about that, didn't you? Forgot about that.
I'd rather Chelsea have it all done and dusted, though, to be honest with you. I think Chelsea know they fucked up against Arsenal, didn't they? That was kind of their game to just really put it over the line. And Tuchel came out after the game and said, oh, I've really fucked up here. I selected the wrong team and they were poor.
Yeah, because if Chelsea need something from that Villa game, well, they'll probably get it. I mean, but they won't want to be huffing and puffing, obviously, with a Champions League final.
Nope.
But if Liverpool do jump them, I don't know who what their fixtures are, but then suddenly Chelsea, I'm not thinking about Villa now, I'm thinking about Chelsea will have to probably try a bit extra for that the Champions League final to get back in the Champions League next season, so that might liven that game up a bit. Although they've got the Indian sign over Manchester City at the moment.
I mean, to be fair, Liverpool have actually got some quite nice games to finish the season. They've got West Brom, who are already down. Burnley, who have got nothing to play for, and Palace last game. So in terms of Liverpool hoping for, you know, an easy run of games, they've already done the, you know, the heavy lifting of going to Old Trafford and getting the win. So you never know. They could sneak in.
That's what I'm proposing, because you said it was a close shot, but I don't think so just yet, because Chelsea have got to go to Villa Park. But as you said in the Villa Minutes, Villa have actually will end the season losing more at Villa Park than they have won. And
as most clubs have.
Well, the home records, it's quite funny. If you have a look at home and away league tables, the away form looks like the home form of teams because, you know, for example, you've got Manchester City 1-13, drawn 3, lost 1, Manchester United 1-11, drawn 7, lost 0, Leicester 1-11, lost 2, Everton 1-11, lost 3, etc., etc. Home, Manchester City have lost 4. West Ham, second place, lost 5. Spurs in the home form table, lost 5. Chelsea lost 4. Man United lost 6. Liverpool lost 6. Leicester lost 8. It's crazy. Madden, it's like an away table.
The whole league is turned on its head.
You know, you take out fans and you're thinking, well, that's the main thing that gives you home advantage. So you expect like a new, you know, it turns it, let's say, neutral. You expect a bit of a 50-50. But for the away form table to be looking like a traditional home form table and it completely flipping it is, you know, maybe some listeners, if you're listening to this, what do you think are the theories for that? Because I think Phil Shaw said in the main podcast, well, you know, you still have that
the
home event.
The familiarity of your own stadium.
The familiarity, yeah, change room, blah, blah, blah. You've played on the pitch, you know how it goes. And yet that's doesn't seem to be a factor at all.
I mean, my sort of personal view of that is I think when you play away from home, you have the sort of the camaraderie that you're travelling as a group and the potentially the intensity that brings, whereas players obviously arrive dribs and drabs. It's not quite the same. It's a slightly more relaxed atmosphere when you play at home. I wonder if that intensity of playing away from home and feeling more focused sort of, you know, focuses the mind, essentially. And as we discussed, didn't we, in Project Restart, that during game, when you get those momentum switches where, you know, a big tackle or a chance or whatever happens and then the fans can get behind you at home, you don't get that. So I think teams can, it's maybe easier to weather the storm.
Yeah. Also, I think some of these teams are built for the away, you know, counter-attacking, you know, Leicester, Manchester United. Mm-hmm. It's
even Villa, to be fair, at moments this season.
Yeah. So that's part of it as well. So it may be the way football's transitioning, never mind the support situation. Right. Anyway, in other news, the ballots have been done for the Chelsea game. So if you really wanted to go to that and you're a season ticket holder, then hopefully you got it. Bud's in like Flynn. So
I'll be there. Very fortunate. Well, I say that now.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't bothered because I don't know. I just don't, the whole COVID thing, but mainly it's like a kind of a test event, isn't it? Of a quarter of a crowd, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bit ghosty and there's so many restrictions and so much protocol and everything.
It's And then you see the price and you think, hang on a minute, I'm spending 45, 50 quid to
jump through so many hoops. Mm. And that's what's, I think I might, if it's a nice sunny day, then I might head up there because there's a few people heading up there who aren't going to the game just for, you know, some beers out in the sun, so to speak.
Yep. And it looks like the long-term forecast's good for that. So it could be that Aston Park's the place to be.
Yeah, no, exactly. But, you know, also it's a dead rubber game. So
well, it is for us.
I think if everything goes well in terms of COVID, the first home game back next season will be...
That'd be brilliant.
The return.
You wonder if they'll have a domestic friendly first, just as a bit of a test before they go into Premier League action, though.
Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Probably. Meanwhile, Steve Bruce, manager of the month.
Wow.
Normally when managers leave Villa Park, they just disappear into the abyss.
Yeah. Where is Remy Gard?
never to be heard of again. Where is Tim Sherwood? Where is Remy Gard?
Roberto Di Matteo, did you say?
Yeah, Alex McLeish, Paul Lambert, has he still got a job? To be honest, I haven't been following Newcastle's progress, but
Newcastle
all I know
have
is
done well. To be fair, since they got their big players back, you know, they got Callum Wilson back, they got Son Maximan back, and they've got the results they needed. You got to say fair play because they were looking bang in trouble at one point, and then they put four on the bounce or three wins on the bounce, pulled them out the bottom.
Because I just presume those bottom three clubs would not win enough to get themselves out of trouble, so it didn't really matter what Newcastle and others did as long as they picked up the odd win or two, they'd be pretty safe. Meanwhile, Lingard was player of the month, which was kind of symbolic of his
resurgence,
rise. Because I'd written him off as just some kind of, he had his moments in the sun, and I just thought he kind of bought into the whole footballer lifestyle a bit too much. And
well, it turns out he'd had a lot of personal problems at home, hadn't he, with his family and whatnot, and he's sort of got his head back in the right place and he's played well. You know, he's given them a real shot in the arm. And just as Lingard came to the party with West Ham, our loan signing vanished.
Yeah, he's got that, for a young player, in terms of attitude and hunger, he's similar to like Watkins, like nothing's a lost cause.
Yeah.
And he's managed to, that little bit of edge, it's like a little extra 2 or 3%. And, I've only kind of seen bits and bobs of him in the last kind of few weeks, but you've seen goals that wouldn't have happened if it was just somebody
else. He's a live wire, isn't he?
Yeah. Meanwhile, you gave me a side note thing about
this was a little
inflation.
This was a random stat that came up this morning I saw. When the Premier League started, obviously in 1992-93, the UK annual salary was around 15,000.
This is normal people,
isn't normal
it?
People, yeah. By 2019, that had doubled to just over 30. But if UK salaries had increased at the rate that football salaries increased, the UK average salary would now be £437,084.
Bloody, can you imagine that? How society would
everybody be 400 grand a year.
Everybody's driving around in a Lambo.
But would the price of Lambos go up with it?
More than likely, yeah. Because that's how they get you. It's...
Oh, God, you're only on 400 grand a year. You're fucking skinned. Yeah. It's like...
This is the thing.
Relative.
Everything else would go up because these luxury brands, that's how they get you. They don't cost that much to make. It's just like, right, we need to pitch it at this certain level. What can we get away with?
Yeah. Crazy numbers, though, isn't it, that?
Yeah. No, it is insane. And it just puts it all in perspective. In terms of the Palace game, as I said on the previous Something for the Weekend, we're not that bothered about doing previews because they're dead as soon as that game kicks off. But we've decided we'd do a fat stat or two on Villa's next game, which is against Palace. What have we got for you? I think the rebirth of Benteke would have to be considered fat.
He's certainly recently, hasn't he? He's sort of just snuck himself back in the party.
Sorry, fat as in P-H-A-T. But yeah, so he's played 19 games. 9 of those have been substitutes, and he scored 8 goals. I mean, I asked Chris before the show to guess how many goals Benteke had scored this season, and he said 3. And I thought, yeah, that's pretty much what most people would have guessed, because they know he's popped up with a couple at least recently. But 8 shows. I think they're all towards the end of the season. Suggests that maybe he's got a little bit of his mojo back.
Mm. That's not a bad ratio for a striker who's been so out of form for
years.
However many years it's been, yeah.
I still can't believe what happened to him. Going from one of the best players we've seen in recent history at Villa.
It's potentially at that point, one of the best young strikers in Europe. You look at him and Lukaku and the sort of the emergence and decline of the pair of them was just crazy.
Because at that point in time, when he was at Villa, you were thinking he'd take, in terms of the Belgium national team, because that was the interesting battle that he had there, was they would play with one striker. Well, they'd start with one striker. So it was either him or Lukaku. And you, when you were watching both of them, you think, well, I think Benteke's he's got more of an all-round game.
Yeah.
And then he went to Liverpool and it's almost like they...
Just killed him.
they just drained him of that all-round game. And every time I spoke to Liverpool fans, they were just saying, I don't understand why we just signed this big man to get on the end of crosses and stuff. It's like, that's not Benteke, mate. You need to watch and learn. But going back to that home record stat, Crystal Palace, because we are obviously playing at their patch, 14th best home record in the league. They've won 5 out of 17 home games at the moment.
Wow.
And that's in the season. But when you look at it in terms of 2021, their form over the whole year, home and away, Aston Villa are actually 14th for the year two fixtures in 2021, and Palace are 15th, 1 point behind. Mm-hmm. So this is a match. It's not looking like it's going to be exciting, is it? Judging by the Everton game.
Two teams who haven't been great for a while, is it?
Yeah, so this is two teams. Well, Palace are always around.
Yeah, Watkins won't have enjoyed having to sit in the stands there. That's something he hasn't had to do this season, so he'll have been more than frustrated, but at least he'll have had a little bit of a breather and be fresh and hungry.
Yeah, and he's still fighting for an outside chance of getting in that England squad. So that could be the difference in games like this, is... Mm-hmm. If one of your top men who happens to be the main, you know, your main attacking threat is still, he's still up at the races, then that could be the difference against Palace. And as we were saying, for some reason, teams just aren't functioning at home. And this could be if we were going to win one of the last three, this is probably the one. I mean, I'm not saying we're just going to win one, but this is the favourite one of all the games that we can potentially... I think if we play as well as we did against Everton in the first Everton game, I think we win this game.
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
Right, let's get out of here. But before we go, just quickly, a burning question. These are questions that were asked of the show that we do, the My Old Man Said Patreon podcast channel, the Mad Few, which just dropped earlier this week. This question we answered with three of us, but we'll just do it again for the sake of this show. Oh, by the way, if you want to become a My Old Man Said patron and get access to extra podcast shows and Match Club, which we'll be meeting yet again for the Palace game, just go to myoldmansaid.com and check out the patron link on the menu bar. Right, sorry, the burning question to finish on. Andy Soden asked, would we miss Douglas Luiz that much if City activated their buyback? He was all right against Everton.
I thought he played well against Everton. We've seen sort of flashes in the second half. We haven't seen the consistency that we saw in the first half of the season or Project Restart, but I think there's definitely a good player there. It's about finding the best way to get the best out of him, which is similar to a lot of our midfielders. Same as McGinn. In answer, yes.
You've hit the nail on the head there in terms of, I don't think it's necessarily a Douglas Luiz issue here. It's getting that midfield right.
It's the combination.
Across the board, the whole combination of it and how it interacts with the back four as well. Because when it was clicking, he was looking smooth because he knew exactly what he was doing, knew where he was. And he was breaking up play pretty well as well, in terms of his timing, etc. But now when our midfield has just been disjointed and it's going back, you know, going forward, it doesn't know what it's doing. So, you know, Luiz doesn't know where he kind of fits into that. And it creates uncertainty, I think, across, you know, within his mind, in McGinn's mind. And so that needs to, just like when the season broke up last season before Project Restart, Smith had and his generals had to sit down to work out the defence. I think whatever break they have while the Euros are on, they've got to sort out how does this midfield function and what's the best combination and do we need extra bodies in there?
Which you wouldn't be surprised to see, or if, you know, Mr. Sanson is, you know, going to step up and be the player that they want him to be. I don't quite know how they see that going, or if they just brought him in as a bit of squad depth. Who knows? Who knows?
Smith, in his pre-match in press conference for the Everton game, was actually seemed quite bullish about the kind of players that we perhaps will be getting in during the summer.
I'd like to be surprised.
Yeah, he said he's excited, and he thinks supporters will be excited as well.
Ooh, here's hoping.
Ooh. But to answer the question,
yes and no.
No, I like to go definitive. Would we miss that much? I'd say no, but this is only at the moment. I think this is a player that's still, you know, early 20s.
Yeah, you're not going to see the best of him for another couple of... I mean, it might, dare I say, we might not actually ever get to see the very best of him, because he might, you know, if he gets that good, he might get a move elsewhere, but... As things stand,
you could say that about anybody, couldn't you?
But I think his best years are still ahead of him. So, but we've seen little bits of what he can do. It's the same with a few of these guys. Same as El Ghazi. If they can get consistency into their game, then we've got one hell of a player.
But I think Luiz has got more upside than somebody like El Ghazi, because I think El Ghazi, you kind of see what the limits are. But this guy, I think we've seen that this could be the, you know, the solution in that position. Mm-hmm. But it might work in our favour in terms of what the question is, that he's been a bit itty-bitty, because it'll make City think twice about this.
Yeah.
And it might just throw them in that,
let's go elsewhere.
Let's go and drop 90 million on this issue instead. Oh, good. They've stabilised and extended the football TV broadcast deal, so we can go and buy another midfielder.
And we've already got away with our FFP problems.
Yeah. So I don't think we'd miss him as we know him at the moment, because if Villa are on the upward curve, they've got to keep adding to quality. But Luiz, at his age, if he continues, I think he should blossom once Villa's midfield finds the way forward. Right, I think that's it. Please do subscribe to the show on whatever podcast app you are listening to it on now, especially if it's at Apple and Spotify. Do follow the show also on Twitter at MyOldManSaid. And if you're a My Old Man Said patron, then we look forward to speaking to you Sunday, isn't it, the Palace game?
Sunday lunchtime, 12 o'clock kickoffs. You haven't had too many of them this year.
Yeah, we look forward to speaking to you then over brunch, lunch, breakfast.
Smashed avocado from Selhurst Park.
not exactly. Anyway, let's run off into the weekend. Thank you for joining us, and it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.